band The Monkees. Dolenz began his career in 1956 when he started a children's show called Circus Boy under the name Mickey Braddock. He also played in obscure rock and roll bands before leading up to his time with The Monkees. It's got an interesting story that I hope he'll tell us about when Screen Gems got the show picked up by NBC. He partnered with Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart, a great songwriting duo, for many of The Monkees' songs. Mickey was the lead voice for The Monkees in most of their songs. According to Mike Nesmith, another band member, it was Dolenz's voice that made The Monkees sound distinctive, even during the tension-filled times between Nesmith and Peter Tork. Dolenz, in 2009 interview, said that The Monkees show that was inspired by the rock group The Beatles, and later he had a chance to meet The Beatles and actually became friends with George Harrison. Welcome to the show, Mickey Dolenz. How are you today?
Hello, how you doing?
Well, terrific, now that you're here.
What an introduction.
Well, what a life you've had. What are you kidding me? I don't even have enough time to cover all of the different things that you did. I hope during the interview we'll be able to talk not only about your time with The Monkees, but, of course, what you're doing now and some of the things that you've done. You've just come back from England. We want to talk about that as well. But my first question, got to start with The Monkees because that's where most people know you from. What was it like being part of a mega group in the 1960s?
Well, you know, first of all, The Monkees was not a group. As you so rightly described, it was a television show about a group. And the group was imaginary. It didn't really exist. It was on a television set in Hollywood, and it was about this group that wanted to be the Beatles. And so when we started filming the television show, of course, it was just a television show, and I approached it as a, I guess, actor slash musician doing a series, and it was my second series. I'd already done a show when I was a kid called Circus Boy. So during the first, you know, at least a year or so of the experience, I mean, I would just get up and go to work on the set. And film all day long, and then go into the studio at night and record sometimes two or three lead vocals in one night.
Wow.
Eventually we started rehearsing to go on the road. But during that period, it was a day job, and so to speak, and I'd been through it before. I'd come home, go into my workshop and start building something, and then get up and go to work the next day. When we hit the road, it was only then that it became apparent to me. I mean, I knew the show was doing pretty well and the records were selling. But it wasn't until we hit the road that it became apparent how much of an impact it was having and having on the on that generation. And that's kind of when I kind of look at it as that's kind of when the group actually became a group. Mike Nesmith actually once said it was like Pinocchio really became a little boy. And then, of course, yeah, it got crazy. I mean, you know, it was very intense. I mean, unlike just like a, say, a regular group, who basically just they record and then they play, go on the road and play, record and go on the road and play. Of course, we were also filming this television show 12 hours a day.
Right.
So for those few years, it was pretty intense, and it was just I just remembered as an awful lot of work.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Mickey. We're talking to Mickey Dolenz, everybody. If you do want to call in, if you're a Monkees fan like Billy the Brain, the number here is 639-0008, 639-0008. Now, Mickey, I have to ask you, there's a memorable story that sticks in the back of my mind about when the band really did become popular. You were out Christmas shopping, and it sort of dawned on you that, hey, we're really big time here.
Yeah, that's funny because I was just going to mention that. This was like a few months after the show had gone on the air, we'd got a couple of weeks off, probably just a few days off to go and and celebrate Christmas, I was going up north to see my family, and I was in the valley here in L.A. Got my Christmas list, jumped in my car, had 2 or 3 days off, and screamed down to the local mall, which I'd shopped at all my life in the same place when I was a kid. And I get out of my car, and I only have a few hours to do all my Christmas shopping, and I run in the mall, and as soon as I walk into the mall, I hear everybody screaming and running towards the doors, towards the big sliding glass doors. And I thought it was a fire. And so I'm going, this way, everybody. Don't panic. Slow down. Come this way. And they kept coming and running, and I realized at that point they were running at me. It was all the kids in the mall that had recognized me. And this was in December of 66. Show'd been on for a few months, and that was the first inkling I had of how successful, how popular the television show was.
Absolutely. Oh, you were number one in our household during that time part. Every week, tuned in to watch you, no question about it. We're talking to Mickey Dolenz, everybody. Now, the Monkees were not without their controversy, to say the least. What was it like when the group was first exposed as being a fraud? What was that like for you?
Well, I take objection to that, first of all.
Okay.
It was not a fraud. The group was not a group, and unless you understand that fundamental principle, you will never understand what the Monkees was about. The Monkees was not a group.
Okay.
It was a television show about a group. And so that's like saying that Star Trek was a fraud. They were really not astronauts.
They weren't?
Yeah, see what I mean? Yeah. I know it's heartbreaking, but it's true. The cast of Friends did not really live all together in an apartment in New York.
Okay, got it.
So the Monkees initially was a television show. It was a cast of like a musical. In fact, the Monkees was closer. You mentioned the Beatles earlier, but the Monkees was much, much closer to the Marx Brothers, and it was John Lennon that first made that comment. The Monkees was the cast of a television show. And I played the part of a wacky drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you understand that fundamental principle, then everything else makes a lot more sense.
All right. Now, that falls into place, and thank you for correcting me. That's a good point. But even
so what happened was that when they hired us, and to get to the point I know that you want to make, and it is a valid one, when they hired us, they clearly had in mind that we were going to not just be actors playing the parts of these characters, but we were going to sing and play on the records and eventually on tour, because the audition process was extensive, went on for months, and included having to play and sing. My audition piece was Johnny B. Goode on the guitar.
Wow.
And everybody else played, everybody else sang. So clearly they had in mind that it was going to be, eventually, we were going to sing and play. And then what happened, I think, and you'd have to talk to the producers about this, is that it became so successful so fast that everybody said, and there was a great conflict between the television producers and the music industry side of the equation, RCA Victor, NBC, and all of those people. And they had hired their own people, specifically Tommy Bush and Bobby Hart to produce and write, Carole King and Neil Diamond, all these great songwriters. And the amount of material required was so phenomenal that they started going in and recording in the studio all the time, using, by the way, the same musicians called the Wrecking Crew, which you may have heard of.
Yes.
Who also played for all the Bird songs and also played on all the Beach Boys songs.
Yes.
There's not one Beach Boy on Good Vibrations. It's all the Wrecking Crew. So if, harking back to your question, if the Monkees was a fraud, then so were the Birds, and so were the Beach Boys, so were the Associations, so were the Mamas and Papas, all of whom have now acknowledged that they didn't play on their records, certainly not the early ones. It was this group of studio musicians called the Wrecking Crew. In the case of the Monkees, we didn't even have a choice. We were never asked or ever consulted about who was going to write the songs, who was going to sing the songs, what songs they would be, who was going to play on the songs, when they were going to be released, what the album cover was going to look like. We were never, ever even consulted, and that is what prompted that sort of palace revolt that Mike Nesmith rightly sort of spearheaded.
Right.
And said, look, if we're going to have our names and our pictures on these albums, we want to have something the hell to do with what is going on.
Makes
sense.
That's
the kind of the short story about what happened. We did have a palace revolt, and we gained control of, at least partly control of, what was going to happen within the music side of the project.
Great. We're talking to Mickey Dolenz, everybody, member of the TV show The Monkees. And, Mickey, we're going to have to take a short break here in just a second, but I got to ask you, we're talking about all those great writers that wrote the songs for you. What are some of your favorite Monkees songs?
Oh, boy. you know, over the years, it's changed a bit. I tend these days to really love the stuff that Carole King and Jerry Goffin wrote. In fact, I love it so much, I'm putting out a CD, which you may have heard about. Called King for a Day, which is a tribute album to Carole King. Pleasant Valley Sunday still is one of my favorites.
Love it.
You know, Going Down, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Diane Hildebrand. There's quite a few, but I must say that Sometime in the Morning, again, Carole King. Some of the stuff she wrote for the movie Head, Porpoise Song, and As We Go Along. That was, they're some of my favorites. And like I say, I'm doing a tribute album tour. Actually, it's coming out at the end of August.
That is great. We're talking to Mickey Dolenz, everybody. We'll be right back after a short break and resume our conversation with Mickey. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Coach Ron Tunick, sharing with you my thoughts about a very caring, family-owned business right here in Ventura called DMC Transmissions. Now, I don't know a thing about transmissions. You all know that. But DMC Transmissions knows everything about your transmission. Here's what they know. DMC Transmission knows how to create that very special experience that says we care, we listen, and we're going to get the job right the first time. DMC Transmissions, right there at the corner of Seward and Thompson. Give them a call, 652-2221, 652-2221. Seward and Thompson, say hi to Donnie for me at DMC Transmissions.
Business today, time is money. So when your office computers or servers go down, so does your income. Locally owned and operated IT The Works will respond quickly and professionally, getting you up and running and making money. IT The Works services include everything from scheduled maintenance to updates to virus removal, backup, and data recovery. There is nothing they can't or won't do to earn your business. If you are frustrated with your current computer services, or if your IT plan has you wondering what you're paying for, give IT The Works a call. They will accurately determine your needs and provide you an affordable service estimate. Making the decision to change is sometimes difficult and overwhelming. With IT The Works, Anthony will create a seamless transition with a personal touch, not often experienced in the IT world. Give Anthony Ellis a call at 479-1605 or visit IT The Works website at ittheworks.com. Once again, that number is 479-1605.
Attention small business owners. Did you know that you could save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month on your business phone costs? You want to know more? Then just pick up the phone and call Access Line Communications. You not only save on service, you can even get a complete phone system for your office at 0% financing. That's just dollars a day. Call 1-888-510-5955 today or visit accessline.com/thecoach. Tell the salesperson that your promo code is The Coach, and you'll get a free Visa gift card with your purchase. Check it out today.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming, and my very special guest today is Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees. If you have any questions for Mickey, remember, you can call in at 639-0008, 639-0008, and ask them. And right before we went to break, Mickey, we had breaking news right here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. You've got a new album coming out titled King for a Day. It's an homage to Carole King, which I think is great. Of course, I love Carole King's music as well. So kudos for you. Now, when is the album coming out?
Officially, the release date is August 31st. It's available on Amazon as a pre-order right now. And I'm very proud of it. It's been going on for a couple of years now. And, of course, coincidentally, Carol's now out with James Taylor on the road. I saw their original show at the Troubadour a year ago, and it was just fantastic. And so, yep, we have this little CD coming out. I have a couple of friends of mine singing along with me on a few of the tunes. And I'm also doing a really interesting project along with Gigatone Records, who put the CD out.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a thing called My Record Fantasy, where you come into the studio with me and work actually on one of the tracks that's eventually going to be on the CD. That's happening at the beginning of August. If you want to check this stuff out, of course, go to my my website, which is mickeydolans.com, or I got my Facebook page or MySpace or Gigatone Records, or they have a special site for the Record Fantasy, which is myrecordfantasy.com. So those are the plugs. It's going to be a lot of fun. My good friend Peter Tork is going to join me at the My Record Fantasy.
Oh, that's great. Peter's been a guest on our show as well. Nice guy, nice guy.
Yeah, and so he's going to come in, and we're going to do a concert, and it's going to be pretty cool.
Well, you know, it makes sense. Baseball fans have those baseball fantasy camps,
yeah, right,
that they can go to be like a professional baseball player. You're just doing this for musicians and music fans, which I think is great. The other part that I think is particularly great that you're downplaying here, but I'd like you to talk about a little bit more, some of the proceeds from this is going to go help a very worthwhile cause, aren't they?
Yes. We decided that we would get a proceeds of everything, the My Record Fantasy and also the CD, to the Gulf Relief Fund. A few months ago, we were discussing it, and I tend to do a lot of charity work, one of my favorite is Make-A-Wish, and I do a lot of work for them. It was Gigatone. It was the people running Gigatone thought, this was a couple months ago. They said, well, there's not a lot of people that have jumped on board down on the Gulf, disaster. So that's the one we decided to pick and get some money to, because goodness knows they need some help down there.
A very worthwhile cause, and congratulations to you for doing that. That's great. Now, you are a man of many, many talents. Most people didn't know this, and this is maybe breaking news for some here in Ventura County, but you've just returned from Great Britain, where you starred as Wilbur in the musical Hairspray.
Yes, that is true. I have done quite a few musicals over the last number of years. I've always been attracted to that world, and finally got lucky. I did Grease. I did Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. I did in New York on Broadway. I did Aida, the Elton John Tim Rice musical, and then the revival of Pippin. And, yep, I was cast into Hairspray in London in the West End as Wilbur.
Oh.
And had a nice run there, like 4 months over the winter. And I go back in November to do the national UK tour.
Congratulations.
And I came to it rather late in life doing those musicals, but I really love doing it. And again, harking back to the Monkees, I mean, if you think about it, the Monkees was like a little half-hour musical theater thing on television, singing and dancing. Again, a little bit like those old Marx Brothers movies.
Right, little singing, little dancing, little comedy. That's what it's all about. Hey, I did not know that you had starred in Pippin. What role did you have in Pippin?
King Charlemagne.
Oh, very regal.
King Charlemagne. It was the revival of Pippin. Stephen Schwartz, of course, the incredible writer.
Absolutely.
He came and we sort of envisioned it. And we ran for quite a while.
Oh, that's a great show.
By the way, I actually officially live in Ventura County.
You do?
Yeah, I'm right on the border.
Oh.
Out here in the valley.
Well, great. We're glad to have you as a citizen. Welcome to Ventura, Mickey. That is great. We're talking to Mickey Dolenz, everybody. Most famous for the Monkees, but a man of many talents. And I've got to ask you, with all the different things that you have done in your life, Mickey, is there a book in the works?
Well, I did one book. I call it my unauthorized autobiography. It was a number of years ago now, called I'm a Believer. It's still around. It's still available. You can get that again through my website. And it took me up to about 1990, so I suppose, at some point I'll have to do part two.
Sure.
And it focused mainly on the experience, of course, with the Monkees and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, I've never been one to, you know, to really keep memoirs or keep a diary or anything like that. So, I don't know. Maybe there'll be another one. Who knows?
Who knows? Now, you went out touring with the Monkees as well. I've got to ask you, most memorable opening act?
I think you know the answer to that. That, of course, would have been Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, yeah.
Which I had seen in the Monterey Pop Festival and thought he'd make a great opening act for the Monkees because he was very theatrical.
Yes.
And, of course, again, the Monkees was a very theatrical act. And so I guess everybody thought it was a good idea, but and it was great hanging with him, and he was a wonderful boy and a young man and a lot of fun and very nice, very sweet, quiet, very naive. And, of course, incredible musician, obviously,
yes.
Even from the get-go. And but it was weird. We'd be on the road and doing these shows in front of 10,000 of screaming little girls, and they're there to see the Monkees. And Jimi Hendrix would be out there, you know, going, "Purple haze, come in my brain. We want Davy. We want the Monkees. Mickey, Davy." It was kind of embarrassing, but it was fun hanging with him.
Oh, I bet it was. Well, who are some of the other memorable rock stars that you've hung with?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, I had met the Beatles. They very kindly. I met Paul, actually, first, and then all of them. I actually spent most of my time probably with Ringo because he was spending a lot of time out here in L.A., but I just saw Paul like last year at some point. He was rehearsing for Chowchilla. And I knew John. John, when he came out here during that period, you know, the Lost Weekend in the early 70s.
Right.
Spent quite a bit of time with him. And, you know, everybody was out here, you know, in those days, out living in Laurel Canyon. And that's, of course, where I lived. A very good friend of mine was Alice Cooper.
Hmm.
We actually learned to play golf together. He, of course, went on to almost be a pro.
He's a very good golfer.
Yeah, oh boy. And, so we were, a lot of people were hanging out here in the L.A. Area, especially up there in the hills.
Now, you've spent a lot of time in Great Britain, and you just mentioned the Beatles and so forth. What makes you such a great Anglophile?
That's a good question. My first wife was English. I met her in England during the first Monkey tour, and I don't know. I don't know. Why do you like? Why do I like the mountains instead of the desert? You know, I'm not sure. But my first wife was English, and her parents lived with us, and so we had a sort of English household, even though it was here in Los Angeles. And then my second wife also was English, but I met her here, and couldn't tell you. Well, my third wife is not English, but I just like it over there. I just love the whole thing, you know. I don't mind the weather. I think that helps.
That has got to be a big help.
I don't mind the cold, sometimes drizzly weather. It really doesn't bother me. So that probably has something that helps maybe a little bit.
That does. We're talking to Mickey Dolenz, everybody, and I know you've got to run. One quick last question for you. Maybe this is a little unfair to drop it on you on the end there, but how do you want to be remembered?
Oh, boy, that is a good question. And, you know, I think probably just as a good person rather than any specific career event.
Okay. As a good person, good father.
And father and, you know.
All those wonderful things. And
I have four children, four girls, four daughters. And so I think that's probably the short answer.
All right. Well, Mickey, thank you. It has really been a pleasure having you as our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I know you've got to run. Thanks for the time today.
And thank you, sir.
Take care now.
Okay, bye.
Wow, that is great. That's Mickey Dolenz, everybody. We've got some guests coming up next week of the same caliber. Tomorrow, you want to tune in because we've got Fred Thompson, former U.S. Senator, actor, and, of course, radio personality. We also have Holland Cook and Bill Press. We're going to be talking about talk radio tomorrow. These are some of the top talk radio hosts in the United States. We're going to be talking about the state of talk radio in the United States. Get to the bottom of that. Next week on Monday, we've got Marshall Goldsmith. We're calling in. And Marshall is one of this country's top authors when it comes to writing business books, and our resident internet expert, Penny Sansevieri, will be joining us on Monday as well. Later in the week, we're going to have three-time New York mayor Ed Koch is going to be our guest, followed by Lisa Miller. And she's coming on the show. It should be describing the origins of heaven and our fascination with the afterlife. And we're going to pair her with Dr. Mark Pitstick, who has reams and reams of proof that the soul actually exists. So we're going to put them together on a show as well, and we're going to battle it out about the soul. We're going to battle it out about existence and of the afterlife as well. I'm very proud to be part of the KKZZ lineup of positive talk radio here for Ventura County. We are the number one positive talk radio show in the county. Our day starts out at 8 o'clock with two moms and a mic. Our two moms, Sandy and Kim, they talk about issues that are important to motherhood, everyday struggles, balancing kids, marriage, work, doctor's play, you know, just everything that has to do with life. Immediately before me is the Freeman Michael Show at 9 o'clock. And Freeman discusses empowering topics designed to improve your life. He has on a variety of guests, and if you missed him this morning, he had a very inspirational woman on. They were talking about being breast cancer survivors. Of course, at 10 o'clock, it's Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, and I am grateful for all of my listeners who tune in every day to listen to me interview thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Immediately following me is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. She's on at 11 o'clock. Susan has conversations with local and national people who are doing transformational work in this world. At noon from 12 to 3, we have Dr. Laura Schlesinger. She's dispensing her advice to call-in listeners from around the country. Dr. Laura is the number three radio personality in all of America, and we're very proud to have her here on KKZZ. At 3 o'clock, we have Ventura's own doctor, Dr. Bunny Vreeland, a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist. She interviews guests from our local community. At 4 o'clock, you're driving home with the coach, Coach Ron Tunick, on the business of life. Coach's show is the longest-running and most successful show that we have here on KKZZ. And finally, at 6 o'clock, it's Home Field Sports, discussing local high school and college sports. That's the lineup of positive talk radio shows that we have here on KKZZ every weekday from 6 in the morning until 6 at night. And that brings us to the end. I forgot to mention one other thing. We need to talk about the new website. For those of you who might be sitting at work in front of your computer right now, check out my new website. It's Brainstorming Online. That's Brainstorming. There's no G. Online.com. There you will see all of my past interviews. We've got them recorded for you up there, plus commentary from me, Billy the Brain, about what it's like to interview all of these people. The website is a work in progress, so you will see that expanding over time. Be sure that you pay attention and go back frequently to BrainstormingOnline.com. That's Brainstorming. Online.com. That brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming live over the internet at 1400kkzz.com. Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We end each show by saying, go out and be the change you want to see in the world. Remember, the leaders of the past didn't hold with today's conventions, and neither will the leaders of tomorrow. Join me tomorrow when we'll be talking about talk radio. See you then at 10 o'clock.
Ventura's News Talk.
There must be something
on AM 1400 KKZZ, Santa Paula, Ventura, Oxnard.
Well, I beat the drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today.
Brings consumer protection to the people of our country, and it brings commercial empowerment to the people of our country.
But Republicans say it will make credit harder to get, especially for businesses.
Bankers say the new bill could mean an end to free checking. It also means some merchants may offer discounts to customers who buy with cash to avoid paying credit card swipe fees to banks. Like the Consumer Product Safety Commission, there'll be a new Consumer Financial Protection Agency to protect people from financial